The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good to have all of you here this morning. Glad that God has gathered us together. We have a couple people who are under the weather. Joy and Truman were on their way, and she was not feeling well. They turned around and went home. Nolan texted me this morning that he's not feeling well. Amelie is already in Dallas with a friend for Thanksgiving, so some of the people we're used to seeing won't be here this morning. Kathy and Remo are probably on their way. As I said earlier to someone this morning, they're flying back tomorrow, but it's today. That's what it is. They're flying back today, but it's tomorrow in Australia. So they left on Monday, but it's today. So they'll be back by Sunday. And I know no one will be happier than the assorted Debbie and Truman and Ben and everybody else who's tried to cover Remo's tech responsibilities for the last 3 months. It makes you appreciate people more when they're gone, right? For our time of catechesis this morning, we are on the 8th commandment. It's on page 321 if you need it. What is the 8th commandment?
You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not set lies about our neighbor, which is right again.
I'm not really a social media person. Who was I telling that to the other day? I said I text and I email. And then as I said that, I thought, well, that's not even really social media. So I don't do Facebook, I don't Snapchat or Instagram or any of those other things. But I do know enough about them to know that social media makes the Eighth Commandment very difficult. It's so easy to communicate something to somebody in some way who has no business to know about it. And intentionally to do it in a way that sort of hurts their reputation. And I'll tell you my one funny little story about this, and some of you have heard it. My brother-in-law had AC/DC tickets. I'm using an Australian band, and Remo's not even here, we appreciate it. He had AC/DC tickets for him and my nephew. And my nephew blew off at the last minute, and so they have this extra AC/DC ticket. And my brother-in-law very kindly called me up and said, would you like to go? I said, sure, I'll go. So we go to this AC/DC concert, and we run into some people that I know from the church that I was a member of at the time in Austin. And we're in jeans and black t-shirts, as of course you would expect us to be at an AC/DC concert. And of course, as you would expect, they played Highway to Hell, and my brother-in-law and I are rocking out to Highway to Hell, and one of these people who I knew captured this on their cell phone and posted it on Facebook, so that by the time I got home, I already had emails from people who had seen this video. They were not at the concert, they had no reason to know what went on at the concert, but somebody had decided that seeing a pastor rock out the Highway to Hell was, you know, worth putting on their Facebook page. So that is a slightly amusing example of a much more serious problem, which is telling people things that they have no business to know, right? So not only should you not give false testimony, say things that are false, but you should not give even true testimony falsely when there is not a true motive, when you're not telling somebody something that they need to know because of their location. So, yes, tell the police officer what was going on. He has a reason to know. Tell your parents, tell your school teacher, tell your assistant principal what's going on because they have a reason to know. Tell your pastor what's going on. They have a reason to know. But don't be telling people who don't need. And that's all included in the Eighth Commandment here, as Luther explains. And we don't do that perfectly, right? So we live in constant need for the forgiveness of sins, which we receive freely by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Any other questions, comments about the Eighth Commandment? They also top, page 203. Right, you turn there, and please stand. Yes, thank you. Ellen was mentally telepathying the message there. That just hit me as I turned around. If you turn to your intro, which we'll need here in just a moment, you will see that right above the Gloria Patri, the glory be to the Father and to the Son, there's a line missing. And you care because it's your line. If you're in the large print, this is not true. But if you're in the small print, it's missing. So right there where I will say, may the Lord bless you from Zion, you will respond, grab a pencil if you want, he who made heaven and earth, he who made, and then the inflection, heaven, and that slur, heaven and earth. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. Yes, it would have been better if Ellen and I had caught it before this morning. But we at least caught it this morning. And as I am fond of saying, if you would like to do bulletins, you are welcome to do them. So, all right. So he who made heaven and earth. Sorry for that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise. And receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let all the earth fear the Lord.
Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe.
Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord.
Stand by night in the house of the Lord.
Lift up your hands to the holy place.
And bless the Lord.
May the Lord bless you from Zion.
He who made heaven and earth.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son. And to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let all the earth fear the Lord.
Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is the last Sunday of the church year. The appointed Old Testament reading is from Malachi, the third chapter. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test, and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who doesn't serve him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Epistle reading is from Colossians, the first chapter. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And there followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, 534.
Jesus, true and living bread.
Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 100 years ago, Pope Pius XI instituted what he called a Feast of Christ the King. He did so ostensibly to combat the destructive forces of the times, the Bolsheviks in Russia, fascism in Italy, and materialism such as the Roaring Twenties in the United States. Although the feast originally was observed on the last Sunday in October, when Lutherans and Protestants were celebrating the Reformation, the Second Vatican Council in 1969 moved the feast to the last Sunday of the church year. We do not call today Christ the King Sunday, or even the Sunday of the Fulfillment, but we call today the last Sunday of the church year. And though today's readings and such have some elements of the Christ the King and Sunday of the Fulfillment emphases, they also continue what is a three-Sunday focus on the last things. If the gospel reading two Sundays ago was about the last things of the intermediate state and the bodily resurrection of the dead, and if the gospel reading last Sunday was about the last thing of the final judgment, then we might say that the gospel reading today is about the last thing of the consummation of the gospel in the heavenly life of the blessed. Jesus told the penitent criminal who asked Jesus to remember him when Jesus came in his kingdom that, in some sense better than that, that day he would be with Jesus in paradise. Of course, we who are ultimately blessed with the fullness of heavenly life are so blessed only because, we might say, Jesus is the King of Kings. Still somewhat fresh from the October 18th nationwide No Kings protest, we might think of the American citizens and others who, especially on that day, objected to the duly elected President of the United States. And we might also think of the British subjects and others in the 13 colonies who on July 4th, 1776, objected to their ruler, who governed ostensibly by divine right. Certainly, as St. Paul writes in Romans, all governing authorities have been instituted by God. To be sure, we should also think about the prophet Samuel's reluctance to give the people of Israel a king like all the nations when they asked for one. We should think of God's directive to do it anyway. And we should think of God's statement that they had not rejected Samuel as their prophet, but had rejected God himself as their king. On God's behalf, Samuel warned the people that the kings would take their children, their best of their fields and vineyards, their servants and animals,
and essentially enslave them. And the people said they wanted a king anyway. We should also think about how later, when the Jewish leaders turned over Jesus to the Roman governor Pilate, and Pilate asked if he should crucify their king, they said they had no king but Caesar. And so the events of today's gospel reading happened. We might not be no king's protesters, rebellious colonists, rejecting people of Israel, or jealous Jewish leaders. Try saying that three times fast. But the sometimes misunderstood language of Psalm 23 is too often true of us, that the Lord is our shepherd, whom we do not want. We do not want him as our shepherd or king, for example, when the absolute demands of God's law show us the right things to think, say, and do, and we do not want to think, say, and do them. Because of our sinful nature, we would rather be our own authorities. We would rather think, say, and do whatever we want to think, say, and do. As in the days of the judges, each one might do what is right in his own eyes. God does not want any to perish, as our sinful nature and all our actual sins make us deserve. And so he delays judgment in order to give people time to repent. But as we heard in today's Old Testament reading, the day will come when all will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is a king whom we did not crown and whom we cannot throw off. Or maybe in our American context, we might say that Jesus is a president whom we did not elect and whom we cannot impeach. Jesus was born King of the Jews. And as we heard in today's gospel reading, he was mockingly but truly crucified as King of the Jews. And yet Jesus is King not only of the Jews, but also of the nations. As we heard in today's epistle reading, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, making peace by the blood of his cross. By not saving himself at that point, Jesus saves others. Out of his great love, God the Father delivers from the domain of darkness and transfers to the kingdom of his Son us who, by the power of his Holy Spirit, turn in sorrow from our sin and trust God to forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. In him, we who repent have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. The repentant criminal in today's gospel reading seemingly comes to repentance by both hearing Jesus speak about forgiveness and watching him die. In other words, he came to understand that forgiveness of sins was given in connection with Jesus' death. That repentant criminal made a public confession of his sin, and certainly received a public absolution. He likely was not baptized, and certainly he did not commune. But under normal circumstances, holy baptism and the Holy Supper are necessary for salvation. As Jesus himself says, both that unless you are born from above by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, and that unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So we whom the Holy Spirit brings to repent by word and sacrament, seek out holy baptism, and afterwards continuously receive both holy absolution and the Holy Supper in order for us to receive the forgiveness of sins, and so also life and salvation. As we sang in the hymn of the day, the lowliest forms of bread and wine now veil Jesus here, but we still hear with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, join in worshiping him. Although today's collect called Jesus' reigning among us done by the preaching of his cross, in explaining today's gospel reading's use on what some people do observe as Christ the King Sunday, some authors refer to Jesus' reigning from the cross. And certainly we can admit that for the time that Jesus hung on the cross, he did in some sense reign from the cross. And Jesus' prayer for others' forgiveness and his absolution of the repentant criminal do arguably show that Jesus' kingdom is about the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus did not stay on the cross. Rather, as we sang in the hymn of the day, Jesus is risen, ascended, and glorified. We normally think of his ascension as his enthronement at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, from where, as it were, he rules over all things and does so for the benefit of his church. And those of us who participated in our midweek Bible study of Revelation may remember St. John's vision of what is called the enthronement of the Lamb. And we should all remember that we too will one day be so risen and glorified. In the language of Revelation, Jesus is the King of Kings. As Pope Pius XI apparently intended, we do well to remember that even in the destructive forces of our time, Christ the King is still in control. We might say, we have no king but Jesus. We hail Jesus as our King today, the last Sunday of the church year. And unless he first comes in his kingdom to judge the living and the dead, we will hear others hail him essentially as their king in the gospel reading for next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent. The church year comes to an end, but then repeats. And even when Christ comes, that is not the end, but the beginning of eternity. By repentance, we are already now, in some sense, in his kingdom. And whether at his final coming or at our death, whichever comes first, one day we too will be with him in paradise. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, to you who sits on the throne and to the Lamb and to the Spirit before you, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. We praise you especially for our creation, redemption, and sanctification. And we pray that you would lead us faithfully to receive your forgiveness through your word and sacraments, and to do the good works of your commandments in keeping with our vocations, and preserve us until Jesus comes in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, the church is your treasured possession. Help her speak and defend the gospel of Christ, crucified, as well as risen, ascended, and glorified. Strengthen those persecuted for their true faith in Christ. Unite in right teaching and practice the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, pastors and people together. Call pastoral candidates and fill pastoral vacancies. Bless James and Crystal's work in Puerto Rico. And for this congregation, return absent members, prosper our Sunday school, and make our offerings more than sufficient for your work in this place. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you prayed for those who sinned against you. Help us and all the baptized likewise pray for and forgive those who sin against us. Preserve us from all temptation and amid all trial, lest we give in to the power of evil or despair. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you do not wish that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Use us to reach those you place in our lives who have strayed from the faith or who have never believed, that when you separate the righteous from the wicked, you might spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you made heaven and earth. We thank you for much needed recent rain. Grant us seasonable weather, we pray, and rescue, relieve, and restore to those affected by drought, wildfires and their smoke, flooding, hurricanes, earthquakes, and volcanoes. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you are King of kings and Lord of lords. According to your will, grant peace and unity on earth, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country, especially that we might have a functioning federal government and civil relations with the states. Protect non-combatants in war zones. Maintain good government among us. Make all people good citizens. And protect, uphold, and grant discernment to all those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, in Christ, all things hold together. Protect and guide Brady, Remo and Kathy, David, Charles, and all who travel, especially with Thanksgiving this week, whether they travel for work or for pleasure, or by land, sea, or air. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you call us to lift up our hands to your holy place, especially in our times of need. Comfort those who mourn. Help victims of violent crime to feel safe again. Grant hope and patience to those imprisoned and their families. By your word and sacraments, be present with those who are shut in and otherwise homebound. In your time and way, deliver from their afflictions David, Lana, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, David, Gwen, Bob, Debbie, Jim, BJ, John, Ann, Steve, and all those in need of healing. To that end, grant all necessary wisdom and skill to those who serve in medical professions. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your Son showed great compassion for the families of Jerusalem that would suffer when it was destroyed. Have mercy on all families in our time, that they might be spared physical and spiritual suffering. Bring all expectant mothers and their children safely through delivery and the children to the waters of holy baptism. Grant contentment to all your people. Help us better defend your gift of human life. And bless with rest and recovery those on break from schooling this week. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, we thank you that in this past church year, you have preserved your word and sacraments among us in their truth and purity, and by them have effectively quickened our souls. Graciously forgive us all our neglect, unbelief, and disobedience with respect to them, and continue unto us these precious treasures with your blessings forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb,
body of Christ given for you. Amen. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen.
Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
Henry, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and keep you in your baptismal grace as you live every day in his love and love. Theodore, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and keep you in your baptismal grace as you live every day in his love and grow in faith. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. Refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Chelsea,
I'm here. Okay. And you just walked over this morning.
Yes.
Glad to have you here. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody else is a fish for the year. Just a couple announcements to highlight for you. There is a Kilmore Community Thanksgiving service tonight at 6 o'clock at First Baptist. You've got details about that there in the bulletin. Because of Thanksgiving, there are some things different this week. I will be in my study probably at least part of Monday and Tuesday, but probably not Wednesday or Thursday, and probably not until later on Friday, if I get in there at all on Friday. And then also, no midweek Bible study as a result of Thanksgiving, no Thursday catechesis. I don't know what the circuit pastors are doing because we haven't been told, but I'm pretty sure we're not meeting on Thanksgiving. He might be meeting by himself, yes, exactly. The Christmas parade float will be decorated hopefully next Saturday at Remo and Kathy's. They'll have a couple days to try to get back on Central Standard Time once they get back, but then hope that you can join them at their house. Notice that next Sunday we will begin using setting one. If you are not familiar with that, you can take a look at that. If you are familiar with it, you might want to re-familiarize yourself with it a little bit before next Sunday. No fifth Sunday until next Sunday. The council decided that the Christmas party in a couple weeks would take the place of that normal fifth Sunday meal. And then also note, we will be having Advent meals and services on the three midweek Advent Wednesdays. I don't know, Ben, has anyone signed up for those yet? Did you at all? Okay, three Wednesdays. I know we have at least two volunteers at the council meeting. Did they all just get taken care of? See how organic that was? It all just happened. Amazing. I like organic. Okay. Yes, thank you. Chili supper after the parade. Some people will bring chili organically. Other people will bring crackers and cheese and other stuff. Feel free to bring something if you wish. Any other announcements?
Loose change Sunday next week.
Loose change Sunday next week, that is also the bulletin.
It doesn't have to be changed.
It doesn't have to be changed, yes. Donate whatever you like to the LWNOT. Good.